I was so dumb, but I hopped on a plane, almost drove right back to the 541.
So, now, listener, viewer, real quick. Let me pub you. Ski did another pack opening pod yesterday, which was Tuesday. He has been doing that the last few weeks. They're a good time, so watch those and listen to those. I also repost them on YouTube. So, what, Ski?
Nothing.
Okay. Booble asking if I'm excited for Paula Poundstone tomorrow.
Yeah, that was talked about a bunch in the chat last night. Yeah. Yes.
What are your top three lesbian comedians? That was hot in the chat. Uh-huh.
Kate McKinnon. She's number one. Name another lesbian comedian. I'm not going to say Ellen.
Ellen, that's kind of a key one.
Yeah, she can't be on the list though because she sucks, right? I'm actually seeing Doug Stanhope tomorrow. So, oh yeah, Tig Notaro, absolutely, Booble. Good call. Tig is funny.
We had a theory that Lisa Lampanelli's really a lesbian. She just used all of her black sex jokes as like a beard, is what they call it. Mm. It's a famous cover up. Just she was trying too hard.
Extra try, super try hard.
Yeah, yeah.
Makes a lot of sense.
I was in a gangbang with the whole U.S. Naval Academy. Yeah.
She fell off the earth, by the way. Like, what happened to her?
I'm sure she's very rich and having a great life.
I mean, when your whole bit is racist jokes and banging black guys, I think your career's got that small little window there.
Are you saying the Obama administration wasn't a good time for that?
No, I don't think it was.
Because that's about when she disappeared. Let's see. Booble says she married a basic ass white Italian dude. It was such a cop out. Sell out.
Who was the worst big, huge arena comedian in that time? Lisa Lampanelli or Dane Cook?
Oh, I love Dane Cook.
No, you didn't.
I love Dane Cook. I thought Dane Cook was fucking hilarious. Yes.
Love with a D at the end.
Well, he hasn't done much in a while, but like back then, like I loved
he's done. He's like, apparently he does underage people.
His punch a bee in the face bit, like fucking love it. Like doing a B&E bit, I fucking loved it.
I don't even know what that is.
Yeah. Yeah, clearly.
I always give him credit. I didn't find him funny, but he knew how to perform. He was at least entertaining in that aspect as a comedian. Yeah. I'll give him that at least.
And I was basic myself because this would have been.
It was a long ass time ago.
It was a long time ago. Come on. And so me being basic, I was on board. Yeah. His jokes about like putting drinks in the cup holder at movie theaters. Like, come on, man. That's good stuff.
And that's just timeless comedy right there.
Exactly. Exactly. All right, let's start the podcast, huh?
He would have made a killing in the time period of like the 72-ounce water bottles.
Oh,
yeah. To buy the extra insert to put it into an insert to put it in a cup holder. Man.
What's
wrong time, wrong place.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you feel free. Like if you still want to do like a tight five on it, like go up to an open mic.
Thought about it.
I'd like to see it.
I've written down a couple of tight fives. They always involve either like suicide or rape. And so I'm like, that's the punchline, you know, because it's funny, but it's not, you know.
Not everybody's an Anthony Jeselnik, man. Like, you really got to commit to that stuff.
Yes, true.
You need to be a little more brooding to really pull that off.
It's all about the delivery.
Is Jeselnik brooding, would you say?
It's all about his delivery, man. Brooding. Like,
you think he's brooding? Okay. Yeah. I think he's fake brooding, but
you think he's fake brooding? Well, his gimmick at least is brooding.
Okay. So, yeah. Fair enough. Right. Agree.
Right. Yeah. His show. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. Alice King and Ski. This is the podcast. You're listening to it. Just, okay.
Right.
That's the intro.
Who's been more of an old man yelling on a hill lately, Jeselnik or Marc Maron?
Oh, Maron, 100%.
His hater tour has been out of this world.
Yo, I love it. He's retiring, so it's like he's going scorched earth on everybody while he still can.
Why not?
He's like fucking Maxi right now, just going after everyone for Epstein and shit, because he's out the door. He doesn't give a shit.
He doesn't care.
What's funny is, like, on, like, the podcast I listen to, Mark Maron now has one of those hot reads that's on every single one. And it's just funny. He come off this hater tour about selling out, and now I just hear him reading, and it's just.
That's why
Anthony Jeselnik could probably write a joke about that, you know. Okay.
It is funny, though. Like, his, like, you know what, this is my last opportunity for a while. I'm gonna burn down Theo Von. I'm gonna burn down Rogan. I'm gonna, like, now's the time. So
ask me a question, please.
Yes.
Rogan is such an easy.
Yeah.
I don't say this as I don't think Joe Rogan is particularly, like, inherently funny, but, like, it's so funny that coming off the heels of the Marin hater tour, like, 2 weeks ago, Joe Rogan again falls for an AI video. And it just happened to be like Tim Walz coming down an escalator, slapping his butt in, like, a fuck Trump shirt or whatever it said. And his producer's like, yeah, man, that's not real. He's like, are you sure? No. Jamie, no. It's like, yeah, that's Joe. It says AI right on the top of the video. And then there's a reader's. Are you are you sure? Yeah, man.
Yeah, dude.
The person who made the video says it's AI because it's not real. We're out of this world.
Crazy.
Funny guy. Crazy.
Funny guy. I like Marin's podcast for the most part. It totally depends on the guest he has on, but I've been listening to it since it started. Like, it's.
I
skip over the first 15 minutes because I don't want to hear him talk to himself. But once the guest is on, like, it depends on the guest. Like, they're usually really good conversations. So,
I mean, he called himself a sellout.
Genuinely.
He was the original comedian to cash in on podcasting.
Oh, yes. Yes.
So it's like, yeah.
Like, stand up. Yeah. For sure. Because the first, like, podcasts were, like, Bill Simmons and shit. Like, yeah, remember, like, Bill Simmons had one on, like, ESPN.com where you literally had to, like, go to the website to click the player. Like, you couldn't download it anywhere. There weren't, like, smartphones yet. Like, it was like Bill Simmons and a couple of random comedy podcasts and him. Like, if you could figure out the technology. Yeah, back when Libsyn was the uploading site.
Ooh.
Real heads know what Libsyn is. okay, so before ducks, Ski, how was fishing?
It was good. Got fucking beat up a bunch.
Like, somebody assaulted you?
No.
Was it a bear?
Like, mountain lions is what you'd be fighting out there.
Oh, okay.
I know, just getting beat up by fishing, getting old, that shit.
All right.
Did you catch anything?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
What'd you get?
I limited out on Thursday. Bunch of steelhead.
Nice. Yeah. Nice.
Hell yeah. Did you fry that
shit
up?
Have you prepared any food with it yet?
Same questions, by the way.
Yeah, I don't eat red meated fish. I like white fish. I don't like salmon.
Big tilapia guy?
Big tilapia guy. Little cod, little ling cod.
A ling cod.
Oh, love me some fucking ling cod.
That's crazy. Yeah,
don't like salmon. Got a fuck ton in my freezer. Don't like.
Yeah,
it's like, yeah, I'll run it to you for what, like $23 a pound? Save you like $5 a pound at the grocery store?
Are you going and, like, peddling salmon at the Saturday market or something, Steve?
I fucking wish I'd make a killing.
You could. Like,
I'll even go $15 a pound. I'll cut it in half what you get anywhere else.
Set up a cart.
Shit's fucking expensive, man.
Yeah. I know. That's insane. Why I want it for free from you.
Yeah. That's why everyone fucking does.
This is what I'm saying. All right. Well,
like, I threw a picture up in the Discord on Saturday about my oldest on the Soyuz lock catching, like,
huge,
a 15 pound or whatever it was salmon.
It's like bigger than he is.
We gave away 95% of it because me and my youngest are the only ones that'll try fish, really. And we tried, I tried to smoke it yesterday, right? And the pellets ran out. I was just being a total bitch and just doing it on the trailer. It's like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't want to do an offset smoke. Right. About, I don't know, 75% of the way through what it was supposed to cook, the pellets ran out and didn't realize it. So, oh, shit, threw the therm in it. And it was like 95 degrees, which is like right in that like danger zone.
Oh, yeah.
So I was like, I don't know if this is coming down or coming up. I had a couple little bites off the fork. It seemed okay. I didn't die.
Yeah, some edge piece. I mean, you could eat it raw. I mean,
yeah, I guess. Yeah.
You're, I mean, that's prepared a special way so you can eat it raw. Yeah.
By Japanese people.
Yes.
Well,
lest we forget.
Well, I mean, I guess most little conveyor belt sushi places you go to, it's prepared by Hispanic people. Let's be real. So, yeah.
Respect the grind, man.
I do. I did not see that picture. I mean, you get all, you know. Those Chinook, you get a bunch of meat off those motherfuckers.
Yeah, that's a lot, yeah.
Have you taught them how to fillet a fish yet, King?
Fuck no. Yeah. No.
Seems they're sharp. No. They're those fillet knives.
Did you feed it to your youngest?
Yeah.
Okay, and he was fine?
Yeah, we were both fine.
You're like, nah, he didn't
just,
make it.
Like, a few bites, you know? Enough that if we were going to be sick, we would have been sick. But
yeah.
Whatever.
Yep. Okay. Well, cool. Glad you had fun, I guess. I mean, I want free fish, so go fuck yourself.
Yeah, fishing's fun. Drink a lot of beer.
Yeah.
Throw a lure every now and then. Fishing.
Yep. Fender gave his fish recipe in the chat. So if anybody's interested, we got a fish recipe in the chat.
Did you guys camp or glamp?
I camp.
Like in a tent?
In a tent.
Wow.
Wow.
What size tent you got? What size?
I got a little one person. I got a little one person tent. Jesus. Just me.
What are you in fucking high school? Like, what's wrong with you, man?
He is a faithful man. Yeah. And what are you trying to do? Lead him into running life amok?
It hasn't even
running astray? Chasing chickens into the hen house?
Right.
Did the last week in America not teach you anything about unity and family and coming together? This man does not need a big tent.
Nope.
We do not need a big tent as a country. We need a small tent with a straight white male in it. That's what we strive for in this country.
Well, that's
if you don't know that by now, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
And if you don't know that, like J.D. Vance said yesterday on Monday, hosting Charlie Kirk's podcast, I'm going to call your employer and get you fired. I'm canceling you.
Fired.
I am canceling you. Do you want to be canceled?
That's what Ski had. So his soul is saved. I can't speak for myself, you know?
I mean, I'm out there murdering animals, drinking American domestic beers.
Yeah.
What more do I need to do to be fucking American than that?
It doesn't get more American than that, actually. I mean, you could have had some chew. Did you have that?
I did not.
Well, maybe you're not.
I wish. Can't go back down that alley again. Slippery slope.
Just leaning left, guys. Leaning left.
Disgusting.
Damn shame.
Guy put. Yeah. The D in Democrat stands for disgusting, Ski. Mm-hmm.
Thought about smoking a cigarette, too. You know, just.
Smoking a what? Say it. Say it.
I think it was just a can. Oh, it was a sweet camel.
Oh.
Camel menthol. It would have been sweet. Oh.
Camel menthol or light?
No, it was a menthol one. Yeah.
Oh, full on menthol.
Yeah, full menthol.
Wow.
Ooh, you are breaking the racial rubric.
I know, right? I mean, there's. You got to have some unity, right?
Yes. Just enough. Yeah. Just toe the line on unity.
Yeah. You're doing it, bud. You're doing it. Look at Fender's comment.
I saw it.
To be more white, more American, you could have stolen the fish directly from a native, which, by the way, we need to check their papers. You know, we need to make sure, you know, otherwise.
Oh, they're out there in the Columbia with their gill nets taking up all the white people's fish. Native Americans.
They do have a good advantage on that, if we're being honest. It's
much easier to catch fish with a massive
net. I'm just going to say, yeah, with a massive net as opposed to a little tiny invisible string.
And also, like, hundreds and hundreds of years of, you know, fishing on that river, like, that probably helps too. I've been reminded in the chat to remind or to tell everybody what our movie is this week because I shortened our introduction. Our movie this week, it happens on... Dude, look at this fucking dog. Look at this fucking dog.
Is it rubbing its butt on you?
It sure is. It's chewing on this thing and it's like...
You got to take a stand, man. That's where you take the stand.
Yeah. I'm going to get fucking pink eye from you, you little bastard. Yeah. Anyway, this painting in the ass brought to you by Jinx, by the way. Thinkjinx.com for all your dog food needs. We're not to our official sponsorship portion yet. But
oh, okay.
We'll get there. We'll get there. So, listener, viewer, if you don't know, I don't know how that's possible, but we have a movie podcast we do every week, and it happens on Sunday. This week's movie is King's movie. It is Unknown Number, The High School Catfish. It is the first documentary we have ever watched, and it is on Netflix, and it happens to be that one. I was telling King before we officially started the podcast today that, like, the goal of a movie is to, like, elicit an emotional response. And this movie, probably more than, like, a third of the movies we've watched, definitely got one of those for me. So job well done there. So watch that. Listen to us talk about it. The story is real fucked. Like, real fucked. So, yeah. All right, shall we ducks? Should we start Civil War, or shall we start Northwestern?
Sleepy Northwestern talk first.
Sleepy Northwestern talk it is. So, I have not seen, perhaps, a Dan Lanning team more uninterested in being there. Like you saw it in their faces when they'd show replays and when they'd show, like, them on the sidelines. They were going through the motions. They were like, it's fucking early. We're on the East Coast. We just want to go home. We're way better than this team. We don't need to try to beat them. And so let's just run the plays. They're going to result in enough touchdowns to beat them. And then let's just move on. And, like, that's what the fourth quarter was, too. Like, where they gave up two touchdowns. Like, they just weren't trying hard. And I know Lanning, like, in his press conference was, like, pissed about it. Like, after the game, he was pissed. Talking about it this week, he was pissed. You know, that's not the standard or whatever. But, man, like, Northwestern's really bad. And Oregon's, like, really good. And they sleptwalked through an easy, comfortable win.
Yeah. And part of it is that, I mean, it is the players, especially in the end, you know, the final quarter. But part of it's Lanning too, letting it, you know, that's a blowout game. Even with them sleepwalking through it, it was still a blowout game. And I look at it with, you know, especially as, you know, we all picked Oregon to cover, right? It was the interception thrown by Dante Moore. They get the ball back, and that was the start of the fourth quarter, right? When they got it back in Northwestern territory right away.
Which was very much the worst throw he's had all season.
It was bad.
Triple coverage, underthrown. But yes, but then Northwestern goes for it inside their own 15, doesn't get it. And then Oregon gets, like, a field goal out of it, too.
Exactly. So that's what I'm saying is most coaches your starting quarterback just throws a pretty bad interception,
yeah,
you'd bring him back out to get a little gimme touchdown right there. And then that, you know, a field goal hold there, you get the touchdown instead. Then it's, what, 38 to nothing. And then, you know, the other...
But he put Moga in.
He puts Moga in, and then, you know, that pushed Moga coming out early, and they bring in the fucking kid from Eugene in again who does nothing, which, you know, can't sustain a drive. Yes, which led to the long touchdown.
Yeah. Brock Thomas, by the way, like, he's got to be a little salty because he comes in and he's got, like, four string. I know he's not... He's four string himself, but, like, the four string line is bad. And he is getting his ass handed to him going back for passes. Like, he's the only quarterback on this roster getting hit. And he is getting hit fucking hard. So, I don't know. I, like, pray for Brock Thomas every time he goes in the game. I'm just like, oh, shit. They're not going to score, and he's just going to get beat up for three plays before they punt.
So I watched this game in camp on, like, a tiny-ass TV.
Nice.
And I did not watch a replay of the game again. It felt unneeded. Did Northwestern look good, or was it the front of the defensive line that looked soft? Because it seemed like they were getting 4 or 5 yards of rush a lot in that first half. It was a little Alioti defense where they would stop them or get a turnover, but it seemed like they were moving it to around midfield every possession.
They were, and then it's defensive line had no push whatsoever. And it was 4 yards every play. They would convert, they would get third and short, and they would convert over and over again. But then they get to midfield, and because they're Northwestern, they would just fuck it up. Like, they'd fumble, they'd, you know.
Stone throw an interception, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Did that twice. So, you know, like, it yards were equal in the game, like... You know, Oregon not gaining 400 yards against Northwestern is that probably should be kind of embarrassing, right? Like, they.
I mean, contextually, they had four possessions in the first half.
Fair.
And then in the fourth quarter, they didn't play the starters. So, I mean.
What was the deal? I never heard anything on Whittington. Was he a game time scratch or.
You know, I mean, he's still questionable, so I'm guessing he was probably very doubtful last week.
Oh, I'll tell you what, I don't feel great about...
He was in uniform, though. Like, he was on the sideline.
Yeah,
yeah.
And by doubtful, I mean, like, if they played Penn State on Saturday, he's playing.
Yeah, all right.
So was Novosad, by the way. Like, they both were in uniform on the sideline. Like, they just didn't play. So Didn't need to, yeah.
I was going to say, I don't feel too comfortable if Jaden Lamarr is the lead back going into Penn State. I'll tell you that much. I mean, I'd rather see the freshman kids, honestly.
Yeah, Deer Hill's big run, like, was very DeAnthony-like. Like, his speed to the corner is different. And, well, like, guys, the safety had an angle on him, and then he didn't because he's much faster. So, like, again, Deer Hill, like, he may be in, like, 2 years. Like, he'll be an every down back where he can run the ball up the middle and do all these things that Davison currently does and the other guys currently do. But on the outside, he's nasty. And so I'm with you, man. Like, figure out ways to get him the ball. And
was that last week, King, where you said it's been, like, forever since a Duck broke, like, a long run for a touchdown?
I mean, they kind of did against Oklahoma State, but
yeah, with Whittington, yeah, but yeah, we haven't really seen that speed, you know, running away from guys,
right?
Like, Whittington's was just such a massive
created the angle, yeah,
exactly.
Where Whittington's was just, oh, it's perfectly blocked, you know,
there's nobody there, yeah,
right, like, the game was boring. We knew it was extremely boring. Like, when Oregon, it was 9 a.m. So there are Duck fans out there who don't think the travel and the time zone and early kicks matter. And I meant to, like, pull the stats on this.
Lanning said that before. Like, oh, we start practice real early. They're used to it. It's like,
they're not. It's
internal clock, man. Like, people can't function.
But forever, like for a very long time, the NFL has charted West Coast teams playing that 10 a.m. East Coast kick, not 9 a.m. And they suck. They fucking stink. It could be the Pete Carroll Seahawks at the Jets. You know what I mean? And it's a slog. And in college, we're going back a long time, but this is when it started like clicking in college. Like there were back-to-back years where the Jeff Tedford-led Cal team, like they went to Maryland, and then they went to Tennessee, and they're both like 9 a.m. West Coast kicks, and they lost them both by the combined score of like 130 to 22 or something. And these were like highly ranked Cal, like top 10 DeSean Jackson, Nate Longshore Cal teams. So, I mean, so in my head, I was like, well, it's going to be that. That's a thing. And then with Northwestern, their plan was very obvious from the beginning.
Yes, it was.
Shorten the game. And Oregon's plan was kind of the same, I feel like, but they were still going to take shots, you know, but they were still, I think their plan was to win 40-7, you know what I mean? And Northwestern came out and just ran the ball and took every second off. And what was concerning is even in that first half where we're like, or first quarter, really, we're like, damn, Northwestern's moving the ball. It's like, well, they were getting to like their 48, you know. Yeah.
They still didn't cross the field.
Inability to make big plays until
they were getting
quarter against like fifth string defenders.
But they were getting the third and short runs.
They were.
And in 2 weeks against Penn State, that kind of effort, whatever it is, doesn't bode well. I'm not saying Oregon's going to lose. I'm not making that call right now. I'm just saying. You can look at that and nitpick it and be like, well, if Northwestern is getting these like just 8 play drives that just get them 32 yards, but they take off 6 minutes and they get 3 third downs, eventually Penn State's going to do that, and eventually they're just going to bust maybe one house a 60 yarder, yeah. And maybe that's all it takes for the Ducks to lose, you know, or maybe they house 2. So I can see the concerns on offense. I just think they were trying to get in and out. I don't really care what the offense did. But.
Agreed.
I wonder, you said there's an angle of, you were saying West Coast teams traveling for morning games. I wonder if there's an angle to East Coast teams traveling west for night games.
Probably. Maybe. Just don't think we have, there's like a big enough sample. Because the NFL, if it's a night game, there's only one of those, you know, or maybe, you know. Yeah. Maybe 2, you know what I mean? Like, I know we've expanded now where the NFL plays at night, you know, all the time, but
yeah,
I do think I read a
team coming to Cal and playing like Pac-12 after dark and playing until like 2 in the morning, mm-hmm. East Coast time. Yeah. Similar.
Possibly.
Yeah. I did see a thing from John Wilner charting that and saying the East Coast teams weren't great, but it was like a 1 year thing. So,
yeah.
Between the Big Ten, the Pac, whatever, and the ACC. So, whatever. What are we going to do for 1 year of sampling?
Yeah. Well, anyway, it was an exceedingly boring game. And, like, it's over. And I honestly don't know that there's a heck of a lot we can take away from it. The first two games had so much energy, and like the players were so into it. Probably helped being at home, probably helped normal times, sure, but like I think it was just an anomaly. Like they host Oregon State this week. Like I think it's going to go right back to the way it was before.
I think so too.
I'd be very surprised if it didn't.
Oh, especially the way the fucking Beavs have been looking.
Oof. It really is dire. Like, their program really is in shambles right now.
I mean, we've been saying it since the merger that they're dead. It's a dead program.
They are actually dead program right now. Like, they have, like, infighting between the players. Like, the coach lost the locker room. He's on his way out. People hate the athletic director. It's the fans, like, just looking at the fans online, like, normally they are snarky and, you know, they're coming from a place of, like, fantasy. Like, the things that they're saying, like, are not logical, But normally they have like some punch and they're like, yeah, fuck the duck, blah, blah, blah. We're going to blah, blah, blah. This year they're depressed. Like the program is depressed.
Can I hop in on that for just a sec, though?
Please do.
So we all know Beaver fans, Beaver grads, you know, Beaver adjacent people. We probably know many, many of them are fine people. You know what I mean? Like, we all know them. Yeah. They're in our circles. It's a 40, it's a 40 minute drive if you're going slow up Highway 99.
There's some Beaver fans I absolutely love.
Yes. 100%. And I do. I feel like Oregon State and Washington State, they got screwed because of a Go TV Networks Go. Okay. All right. But the energy switch from last year to this year from OSU Twitter. Nah, man, you need to suffer some shit. You need to feel the pain, because last time they played, right? It was last September, about the same time, middle of September. And the talk was, you know, aside from like, oh, you're traitors and you ripped apart the conference, Oregon, blah, blah, blah. The talk was, look at our treasure chest. Look how much money we have accrued through lawsuits. You half share losers. We are rich. You stand no chance against us. We are innumerably affluent all of a sudden. A treasure trove, right? And then the Rose Bowl comes. Oregon makes the Rose Bowl. Didn't go well. I don't think I need to remind you. Didn't make the Rose Bowl. And like 2 weeks before that, Oregon State and Washington State found out that for last year and this year, they get the full Rose Bowl payments, you know, or whatever it was. Ha ha! Have fun playing in the Rose Bowl, losers. We get the money. Over. You talked all that shit. Even after the year you had, talked all that shit. And then you heard the whistle. Can you listen? Can you hear it? Do you hear the whistle? And someone on the block in Corvallis went, Omar's coming. And now that Omar's coming, your fucking asses are quiet. You're not saying a damn thing. And if it is, it's muted. It's quiet. It's in the throes of safe company. And you're retreating. You're giving up. You've given up. And that's fine. You want to give up? Give up. But don't act tough. And then when the enforcer comes, just hide into a turtle shell. That is innumerable, like the 180 that, and granted, or every team's social media presence is not indicative of their fan base, right? We, whatever the fan base is, Maine Black Bears, Michigan Wolverines, Miami Hurricanes, whatever. But you guys were so loud, and now you know it's over, and now you just want to be like, we don't want to play, we don't want to play. It's not fair. It's dangerous to our players. It's not fair.
I fuck did you. See.
Eat it. Eat it. You deserve to eat every single poison carrot that comes your way from here on out. Because you guys were acting like you got one up on Oregon. All when everyone knew you're completely full of shit. You're playing games on the CW and you're telling Oregon fans, ha ha, available in every house with an antenna. Who's winning the media wars now? Not you. Not you. I don't know what to tell you, but Oregon played some pretty big games on, you know, ABC or not ABC, because whatever, NBC and CBS, you know, you didn't and you won't. And the only way you will is if you play Oregon. So eat it. Eat it. Take that 6-game extension and just be grateful they're giving you any money. Any time, any attention. They're giving oxygen to a flame that is trying to pour water on itself to extinguish itself. They are giving you a lifeline as you try to unalive your program. And you're ungrateful? You're ungrateful? shit, in 75 days, people in America are going to be sitting around tables at Thanksgiving being grateful, and you guys are already ungrateful. Don't pass the gravy. I don't want your I just want your tears. Losers. I see the floor.
What is Washington State fan? Are they acting similar to Beavs? Because I saw they just got stomped out by North Texas at home last week. Like
future,
bad.
Future are, conference opponent North Texas, yeah,
are,
by the way.
Are they that down bad like Beaver fans are? I mean, I don't see
any. I think they're more having fun with how bad they are.
Yeah. I don't because, do they have an online presence?
Yeah, their Twitter is pretty good still.
Is it? Yeah.
Okay.
I've seen a Beaver fan equate themselves like going forward, like, oh, we're App State against Michigan now when we play Oregon. That's the level that this game is at now, where, you know, a once in a, you know, a generation, you're going to get that win, that one win against them. That's the level the Beavs are at now. Is that what they were saying?
They used to occasionally get close to conference titles. Like, this was actually, like, they would beat Oregon. And they should beat Oregon because they were better.
They had the best team in the country one year also.
Yeah.
Like, so
this really has fallen really quick. Like, I don't know that I thought maybe when they got Murphy, I'm like, okay, like, they're still going to, you know, win some games. They're still going to be, you know, they'll, you know, be better than Washington State at least. And, you know, maybe get to a bowl, right? That's the goal. Like, you get to a bowl, then you hold over till the new conference realignment stuff for the Pac-12, and you go from there. Then you start getting some momentum. But, man, like, they're bad. Like, they're very bad. And their coach is not surviving the season unless something drastic happens.
Right. Like, the question is, who are they going to get better? Are they in La La Land thinking they're going to pull some, you know, good coach from somewhere else?
If a former player can't keep the locker room, like, you figure something else out, right? I don't know, Scott Barnes. Like, how much confidence do you have in Barnes at this point? Like,
does Mike Riley need a job again?
Oh, God, don't.
Dusting off Mike Riley, Jesus. Mm-hmm. Like, they've done it before.
No, it sounds like, King, your little tirade there was Beaver fans were like that rich person that's a drug addict.
Tirade? You mean truth bomb?
Well, yes, it's truthful, but still. You know, they got all that money, but they're a drug addict. In that first year of, you know, being a cokehead, it's awesome, right? You point it in people's face like, hey, you're out there partying, yeah. But that second year, you start running out of money. You know, you're not able to get your fucking drugs and your fix. You're out on the corner.
Doesn't last as long.
Nope, yeah. It does not. Yeah. That fall is quick and it is far. And I think that's what we're kind of seeing here.
People with grace and, you know, whatever, like me, try to prepare them last year. Grace and empathy, which has been a big word of late. Empathy. I believe in empathy. And I tried to espouse that to my Oregon State friends in real life or online or whatever. And they just did not want to meet reality. And reality has hit them. And if you look at the back end of their schedule, they could start 0-5 and maybe still go 6-6. Because they play like Lafayette and Tulsa. And it's a real fake schedule. But the predictions of like John Canzano being like, that's a 10-win team that could push for the playoffs. In what world?
I don't know.
In what world? And I've said this on here. I get it. This time of year, there are two teams in the state. He's going to pump them both up to some degree. The other one probably won't be pumped up much longer. So I kind of get it. But still, talking playoff because they got Malik Murphy was insane.
He's still like banging the drum. Like he is having serious conversations about Oregon State football. Like, you know, do they need to keep Trent Bray or what's, is he losing the lock? Is he like, he's still talking about them as if they're a real football program. And clearly they're not right now. Like, they could be again one day. Sure. Like, you know, anything's possible. But right now they're not. They're not even close. And hey, he's still, still banging the drum, dude. Like, at some point you just got to move on. Like, I know that's his
Speaking of anything being possible, have you thought it was not possible for your dog to have a shimmering coat? Did you not think it was possible for your canine friend to not have pearly white plaque-free teeth? Did you not think digestive health was an easy, was just an order away from your pooch pal? Well, think again, my friends, because thinkjinx.com has you covered. For all of your needs from your furry friends, don't just think out of the box. Think Jinx. They have the answers. They have the solutions. Thinkjinx.com.
That brings us into trivia.
Ski, that was too well done of an ad read there. That was too good. My guy, that was just professional level ad read as there.
Somebody who used to do those for a job, like you, my friend, are a natural.
Quick predictions. Does he care about this Civil War game?
I think he wants to win considerably large, but I think he's going to run it the same way. If they're up 42-9 beginning of the fourth, he's fine if they win 45-18. He won't, you know, he'll talk shit after the game about his third stringers and use it as motivation, but I don't think he cares enough to be incentivized to like run it up. Mm. Like if they get two defensive touchdowns off deflections late, so be it. I don't think he's gonna go out there and really try to embarrass them, but that's just
me. It's up to the players. Like we saw against Oklahoma State, like we saw against Northwestern. If the backups are bought in the second half, then they're gonna keep scoring. If they're not, then they're not, and they're going to give up touchdowns. So I see it being exactly the same scenario. By the way, like sort of on that note, Corey Moore.
Dak Moore?
Corey Moore. He goes by Corey.
It's so Dak Corey Moore.
I mean, Dak it's Corey, Moore. But okay.
It's not.
I mean, it is. It's that's what he goes by. That's what he's called. He allegedly, apparently banged up in practice this week. Rumors he was full practice today. Does he play? Should he play? Do we want him to play?
I'm not addressing any of that rumor stuff, okay?
We don't know what the injury is, obviously. So I can't tell you. If it's just a bruise or something like that, yeah, go get, you know, a couple series in. If it's
Whittington
any
too, it's like if Whittington's banged up, like. What is? Do they even bother? Like you got Penn State next. Like
yeah, well, get in there and get a couple series in to stay like a little sharp with the offense, but then get him the fuck out, kind of thing.
Okay, fair.
I don't know, especially like, for Whittington because like he missed last week too.
Yeah, like Whittington dressed last week too. Like I don't know. We'll see. Genuinely, it does not matter.
It doesn't matter for the win, but I'm looking ahead. This is the. Last week wasn't a look ahead. This week's a look ahead. Look ahead. Get everything clicking well against the Beavs and then pull everyone.
Handle your business in the first half. Move on with your life.
Then yank them. Sure. Okay.
Trivia. Oregon State trivia. Boys, we have been doing this podcast for a long time. We've been doing trivia for a long time. I have done Oregon State trivia, I want to say, 5 times now, like 4 or 5 times. It is increasingly becoming difficult to come up with questions for Oregon
State. You know you could just wrap around like 2 years ago and we would not.
Yeah, you're jumping ahead, King. There are going to be some repeats on here. Hopefully for you guys, you remember some of the information. So again, for those of you who have not seen us do trivia before, it's going to be King because King got the auto victory again, right? Like,
oh, Ski? No.
No,
I think didn't Ski win last week?
I won.
He did, but are we given like the auto victory because of the card pack stuff?
And, King didn't get that guy's school right last week.
Yeah, I didn't get to college. Yeah, I didn't know. I didn't know his temple.
Okay, so so I will ask Ski a trivia question. He will have the chance to answer it correctly. If he does not, then it goes to King, who will have a multiple choice opportunity to steal the points. It is best out of 10. I don't do more than 10 questions. So, Ski, your question. This guy founded NVIDIA and sure doesn't seem to care about Oregon State football. Who is he?
I can't remember the guy's name.
Tough one.
When I get canceled, I'm pretty sure it's a foreign name. Does that count?
No, I mean,
kinda. Yeah.
Kinda? All right. I got no guess in.
Fender says George Soros. That is incorrect. No. King, do you know? Or should I give you multiple choice?
Yeah. I'd like the multiple choice, please.
I know. Was this a snarky way to start? Was this mean? Should I not have done this? Let's see. Harvey Tyner, Jensen Huang, and Jeff Babcock are your options.
Jensen Huang.
Huang, that is the correct answer. The other two names I made up. I literally.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, they're fake names.
Jensen.
Jensen Huang. Yeah. Heard of people who got in on NVIDIA very early on, and they're rich. Let's see. So this goes back to King. Who is Oregon State's only offensive player of the year conference?
Mike Hass?
That is incorrect. Your options, Ski. Terry Baker, Jaquizz Rodgers, or Ken Simonton?
I doubt they had that category when Terry Baker was playing. I'm going to say Quiz.
That is a correct answer.
Yeah, see, my thing was, no way Terry Baker. They, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's correct. Yep.
I just...
So we are tied at one. This goes back to Ski. Trent Bray has coached under three former Oregon State head coaches. One was at Oregon State. One was at Nebraska and Oregon State. Under which coach did he coach linebackers back at Arizona State?
Erickson?
That is correct.
Can I get a first name?
Dennis?
That is correct. Yes. Yeah, he coached under Erickson, Riley, and Jonathan Smith. Mm. Coached under Erickson twice, actually. He was like a GA under him, too.
Hey.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. So this goes to King. Ski leading 2-1. Which coach led Oregon State to their only conference title in the last 60 years?
Dennis Erickson?
That's correct.
This sneaky son of a bitch.
Yeah, 2010. Yep. We all remember it. Let's see. Ski, it is tied at 2. Who holds Oregon State's record for interceptions in a career with 20?
I'm going to say, Cookus?
I've never asked you guys this question before. That is incorrect.
Cookus?
Oh. Nope. King, your options.
I might know.
Your options, King. Jordan Poyer, Mitch Mewson, or Sabby Piscatelli?
Sabby Piscatelli.
Okay. It's so hard.
That's a tough one.
I'm going to say Sabby Piscatelli.
It is Mitch Mewson.
Oh, no.
Damn shame. Sabby Piscatelli, one of the all-time great names. Fantastic. Let's see. All right, this goes back to Ski. Still tied.
Was Mitch Mewson from like Forest Grove? Someone looked that up.
Yeah, somebody in the chat looked that up. I'm using my phone currently. Let's see. Ski. Wait.
King's up.
King. Yes. Who is Oregon State's single game passing yards leader with 493 against Washington State?
Oh. It's Washington State. I'll say Sean Mannion.
That's correct.
Oh.
Yeah, he leads in every passing category for him.
He does. Yeah, that's like the most obvious question I could ask at this point, because I think I've asked it every year, is who their career passing yards and touchdowns leader is. It is Sean Mannion by a lot. Let's see. All right, so King leads 3-2. Back over to Ski. Who holds Oregon State's single season record for catches and receiving yards? I'm going with the single season records today. Catches and receiving yards in a single season.
Oh, man,
it is a lot of both.
There's three options that all sound right.
I'm thinking Brandon Cooks. I'm thinking James Rogers. I'm thinking Marcus Wheaton.
That wasn't my third. Your first two.
Were you thinking Mike Haas? Was that the other one?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to go with the one that you weren't thinking. I'm going to go Marcus Wheaton.
That's incorrect.
Haas, son of a bitch.
King, your options. Mike Haas, Brandon Cooks, or James Newsom?
Tim Ewis, I think, is D.
Tim Ewis.
And what was the stat again? Sorry. Most receptions and yards?
Single season catches and yards. Yep.
I'm gonna go Brandon Cooks volume, bullshit volume over awards.
That is correct. 2013, 128 catches, 1,730 yards. That is crazy. A crazy season for a wide receiver to have.
That's why
he's in the NFL.
Apparently Mewson was indeed from Forest Grove.
Okay.
Yeah. Thanks, Booble, for looking that up. Yeah.
Along with Joe Giansante.
Does Mitch Oregon legend have a Wikipedia, Booble? I need that answered, too. Is that where you found that out? I need to know. All right, so let's see. King leads 3-2 now, right? Yes. No, 4? It's 4-2, right? You just got your fourth. Yes, I didn't mark it down. Okay. And so we are going back to King for a chance to win. OSU quarterback Malik Murphy transferred to the Beavs after a really good season at Duke, set their single season record for touchdown passes. But that is not where he committed out of high school. Where did he redshirt his freshman season?
Texas.
That is correct. King wins.
Hook 'em. Ding, ding,
ding. Hook 'em horns.
You're burnt like orange. It's gross sight.
Get good. Sounds like a skill issue. All right, bonus questions. One I have used before. Who is the only number one overall NFL draft pick for the Beavs?
Terry Baker.
That is correct. 1963. Who holds Oregon State's single season record for rushing yards? 1,690.
Wiz?
Steven Jackson. In 2002. That's it.
Fair enough.
Oregon State trivia. Shall we do lines? Lines.
Quicker this week.
Lines.
Doing lines. We got lines. There's lines. And also there's lines.
All right.
Lines.
Interesting week in the Big Ten last week.
Lines.
Lines.
Braga.
Lines.
Lines.
6 points. Hey, you won the week.
Lions.
King and I, 5 points, one behind you. So 24 for me, 23 for King, 22 for you. Close. You...
Lions. All right.
The line of demarcation.
It is. The Mendoza Lions. Line, one would say, too. First game.
Line.
It's a great one. This is peak Big Ten football now. Iowa. I was a 2.5 point favorite on the road to the Fighting Shianos. I'm taking records
like number one in the country in efficiency or something this year. I saw that this week on Instagram. It could be real.
Ethan Calliomanis.
Calliomanis,
I think.
Yeah.
Really efficient. I'm going Rutgers. Give me Calliomanis. Yeah.
Who are they playing?
Iowa.
Give me Iowa.
Your Hawks.
Yep, my Hawks, my playoff from my 2024 playoff Hawks.
There's my 2025 playoff Hawks as well. Next thing we got, we got Maryland. They're going to Wisconsin. Wisconsin 9.5 point favorite. I don't like these teams, and they're all the same now. It's either the top like four teams, and then everyone else is the same. Then there's UCLA.
Well, you know what they say about the Big Ten.
But the cream will rise to the top. Oh yeah.
So I'm going to take the team with the points. Give me Maryland catching 9.5.
I also want Maryland. Yeah, I was thinking that too.
You know, I once drove past a mansion from Wisconsin or whatever T-Pain said. So I'm going Badgers.
You're going Wisconsin?
Yeah, I was trying to remember how he rhymed mansion.
Oh my God,
with
I don't believe it.
Such a
That song is such a banger.
A mansion.
I'm Wisconsin.
You could rhyme anything with anything, right? Eminem taught us that.
T-Pain, Eminem. I've always said that.
Yep. Next game, Michigan. Michigan, 2.5 point favorites on the road in Nebraska.
Michigan, star pick.
Say 2.5 point favorites?
Yeah, Michigan's favored in Nebraska.
Give me corn. Give me corn.
Yep, I'm slobbing on them knobs of Brasky.
Big round and juicy.
Yep. Just got to grease them up with some fucking butter.
All right, you guys
like the knobs, yeah.
You guys can stop.
What? We love corn.
Yeah. What's this guy fucking thinking? Jesus.
I believe you.
What do you guys think of Purdue?
Purdue? Love them.
Purdue love them. Yeah, they're 25.5 point underdogs going to Notre Dame.
Oh, give me the Irish. Oh, my God.
Big winless.
The winless Irish.
Yeah.
They got to get their win at soon.
They're going to win by like 60.
I am star picking the Irish because, yeah, this is. They need to win by a lot.
Notre Dame for me.
Hey. All right. The big matchup of the conference, Illini, they're going to Indiana. Indiana, 5.5 points favorite at home. It's one of these teams is going to be that fourth team where people are like, oh, they're not bad, right? They're one of the
you
good
know
teams.
What? Last week I said I didn't like what I've seen from the Hoosiers. And then on Friday, I kind of liked what I saw from the Hoosiers.
Yeah, right.
Give me the Hoos.
Right. Did you pick? You picked the Sycamores.
Yeah.
Yeah. They did Friday not was cover.
Friday was not great to me. The Sycamores and UCLA. Not great. Not great. No, not good.
Yeah, the Sickies got destroyed as a 50-point underdog.
Yeah.
I also picked them, by the way.
Same
answer. Exactly.
I'll be the contrary, then. I'll take the Fighting Illini. Maybe they lose by a field goal. I don't know. Apple Cup.
First Huskies. Of all, man, I like vagina. That's one thing I like.
That's a great sound drop there.
Still see a scroll, and it was it. Sorry. Yeah. My bad.
That was Huskies 19.
Show or something?
Yeah.
Was like on his show?
Yeah.
So good.
Huskies 19.5 point favorites.
Dude, lock up the Huskies. Star pick. Lock it up.
Big time.
Everything.
They need this to be a blowout in a big way, and they're going to make that happen. I totally agree. And Washington State is down bad.
This is the one game they might come up for, though, of
they're
all
having
the games.
An open tryout at quarterback this week.
Quarterback, it's like, not a good sign. Not a good sign.
This is bad.
Yeah, I'm taking the Huskies, too. Sparty, traveling to L.A., USC 18.5 point favorites.
Oof.
Big letdown last. USC kicking 6 field goals against Purdue. Give me Sparty. They're going to try to.
Speaking of body clocks, though, that's an 11 p.m. local kickoff for the Spartans.
Yeah. We'll see if that, you know, if that plays in.
USC.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'm going USC. They're going to run it up if they can.
Yeah. They're on a run it up tour right now, man. Like,
this guy doesn't believe in fucking Aiden Childs, I guess.
They're exercising demons.
I used to.
A lot like Malik Murphy in that way. It's like before he actually played a game for them, it was like, yeah, I believe in him. Yeah.
Yeah, he threw 29 touchdown passes at Duke. Yeah.
Yeah. He's going to be great.
Hey, mods, someone ding this guy for misogyny in our fucking chat. Son of a bitch.
What's that?
I don't know. Fender getting fucking dinged by the auto mods for misogyny.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's disgusting. Yeah.
Disgusting.
Can you believe it? Just gross.
This has no part in our party.
No.
Yeah. Gross. Ew.
We love the ladies.
I cannot believe he posted that.
And classic Notre Dame fan right there. All right.
Where's the FBI? Yeah. JD Vance, get him.
Get him.
Get him.
Fire him. Fire him.
Fire him.
He should. Lib lawyer. God, JD Vance hates him.
Oh, classic.
Oh, my God.
All right.
Such a cliche, Fender. God.
We're into the conference now, so there's not a lot of games. So I added the two top 25 matchups outside of the conference. How about Texas Tech, Utah? Utah, 2.5-point favorites at home.
Utah, give me 2.5.
Yep. All over the Utes.
Utah, I don't care.
Oh, that's fun, yeah. How about what do you care about? Care. Do you care about Auburn and Oklahoma? You care about
not
that?
Not really.
Raga? Yeah, well, Oklahoma's a 6.5-point favorite at home.
Oh, I don't know. I've listened to a certain podcast all year that told me Jackson Arnold was so good. The best.
The best.
And then the next day they would say John Mateer is the best. So I'm really confused. I guess I'll go Oklahoma. I don't know. Mateer's fresh still.
I'll take Oklahoma as well.
Yeah. Oklahoma.
I do think the Mateer stuff, I think he's, depending on where you look, he's first or second in Heisman odds. Mm. It's like, okay, if they win a certain amount of games with that schedule they have, okay. But it's like, buddy, he's running fucking counter runs like 12 times a game. At a certain point, he's not like Vince Young. Or, you know, Johnny Manziel or Lamar, where they're just out running people. He's like, I'm going to run in your chest and get 2.5 yards. Hey, man, it's still September. I don't know. I don't think it's going to last. Didn't last year in Pullman. Granted, different teams, but it was decidedly not as cool of a player the last 4 or 5 weeks as he was the first 5 or 6. Mm-hmm.
I have a online dynasty with some buddies in CFB 26, and I am playing with Washington State. Made it to the playoff, and first round game was against Oklahoma, which playing against Mateer was fun.
They light you up.
How'd that go?
I won that game. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So there you go. Cool story.
Yeah. One more last game. Ducks, 35.5 points. That tricky Dan Lanning number right there.
I don't think they cover. I think Oregon State with the points.
I'm going to take the Ducks.
I'm going to take the Ducks too. I hate it. It's way too many points, but
it is. But Beavs make too many blunders that the Ducks capitalize on, and they might not score an offensive touchdown. So
yeah, they're truly bad.
They are bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right.
So that's lines.
Thank you, Ski. Shall we do our list? You got anything before we clock out of here? Okay, cool.
WNBA playoffs? Nothing there for you guys?
I think we're good.
No?
All right. Did you see Kyler Murray's Instagram post today?
Mm-mm. What happened?
He had an Instagram post today in front of a bunch of his very beautiful, I believe they were Bulldogs, maybe there was a pit mixed in there. And he was in the background wearing a number 7 Virginia Tech jersey.
That's a choice.
You aware who? You aware?
Yeah. Our generation knows who number 7 from Vatek is.
Yeah,
that's not great. I'm looking at the picture.
Right now. Yeah, he took it down. People were like, hey, buddy.
Okay, murdered dogs.
Not sure if you knew about this Michael Vick guy, but
his relationship with that breed you're holding, not real great.
Not great.
Yeah. That guy's a piece
of shit. That I think Kyler Murray's a bad person for it. That's Instagram brain. Like,
yeah. Mike Vick is a piece of shit. Yeah? Okay. Let's move on. List this week comes from me. I came up with a list and because it was obvious. So Robert Redford died this week. And so our top three list is top three Robert Redford movies. And so there are going to be a few that just jump to the straight of your mind. But there's a couple few like sort of sneaky ones that you might not think about right off the top of your head.
Like Pete's Dragon.
Yeah, like Pete the Dragon.
Exactly.
Or Charlotte's Web. he's got a good list. So anyway, who wants to start?
I'll go for it.
Okay, I will start. It is Sneakers. Sidney Poitier, Dan Aykroyd. Sneakers is a dope movie. It's like they're spies essentially sneaking in and breaking into stuff and hijinks ensue. And yeah,
it's not as good as Spies Like Us with Aykroyd as a spy movie, but nothing is really. Well,
look, it might not be the best Aykroyd spy movie, but yeah, it is top three. Redford.
It's not the best Redford spy movie either.
That's true. That's a good point.
My number three, I'm going Butch and Sundance. It's one of the few actual old movies I like.
Yeah, it's a great flick.
My whole list is nothing but Redford and Paul Newman and Redford and Brad Pitt.
Brad Pitt, yeah.
Yep, that's all I have is
spoilers.
Yeah.
All right, King, what's your three?
My number three is The Old Man and the Gun. I mean, who doesn't love Casey Affleck and Robert Redford together? I mean, come on.
And that's our theme for this podcast.
Yeah, Danny Glover, Sissy Spacek.
I mean, yeah.
Come on. Classic. Man,
guns. Like, that's our podcast.
Watched it many times.
That's America right there.
Sure is. It's my America. Let's see. Threes from the chat. Fenders also is Sneakers. WCP is A River Runs Through It, which I'm told is good. I haven't actually seen that movie.
It is really good.
That's good.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. Boobles is Winter Soldier. Yeah, it's a very, very good Marvel movie. As far as Marvel movies go, it's great. Redford is in it.
He is.
All right, let's see. My number two is All the President's Men. Bernstein, you know, like Woodward and Bernstein, yes. About the Nixon, you know, all that
Watergate
stuff.
Shit, yeah.
Yep, Watergate stuff. Very, very good movie. Still holds up if you haven't seen it in a while. Deep Throat.
Not the movie Deep Throat, but yeah.
Nope. That was the nickname of the person who was their informant. Yeah.
I'm going to come.
Do not come.
Yeah, thank you. All right, King, what's your two?
Oh, no! What a bad idea!
We've all been there.
Go for it. Mine's quick.
Yeah, please. Please expound on that.
No. Go ahead. Sorry. Okay.
My number two, Spy Game.
No way. There's no way. That's my number two, Spy Game. 2001. What did the world need to heal? Brad Pitt and Robert Redford coming together in a spy thriller.
Yeah.
Spy Game.
Brad Pitt's beyond enemy lines as a spy, and Redford's in Washington. He's got to bring him home, man.
Yeah,
gotta bring him home. Got to cash in all his. He's got to cash in all his chits to get him home.
Twos from the chat. Fenders is The Natural. Stinks.
Love Ooh, baseball. That stinks. Movie stinks.
That stinks. Beautiful movie. Get out of here. It's like the 30th best baseball movie. WCP's is Spy Game as well. Good call. Boobles is President's Men. Yes. Fender, there is one iconic shot from that movie. It is him hitting the ball into the lights, and that's it. Like, the rest of the movie is bad. What, his bat was called Wonder Boy or
Wonder
some
Boy.
Shit? Like,
Wonder
get
Boy.
Out get out of here.
He gets get fucking shot. Here. He gets fucking gut shot by a femme fatale for, like, no reason. It's like,
what are we doing? Right. What are we doing? Let's see. My number one.
Plus he was like 50 at the time when he did the movie, and it's like, oh, you're an up and coming prospect, aren't you? There, Rob, old Bob.
He had already started the Sundance Film Festival at that point.
Yeah.
Let's see. My number one, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. Easy choice. It's one of the, like, I genuinely, there aren't a lot of movies from back then that I fuck with. Like, I think a lot of movies from that era just are very overrated and slow and not very good. I think that is one that is actually very good. And he's great in it. Yep. All right, Ski.
Well, I'm going my number one, and this would be in the conversation for my number one, like, just all-time movie. And that's The Sting. Plus, it's got a fucking grizzled, drunk-ass Robert Shaw in it, too, with Paul Newman. Yeah, it's fucking just gold.
All right, King, what you got?
My number one is All the President's Men, right? Not an original thought here, but can I give you the critics' consensus on the 1976 movie All the President's Men?
Please do.
A taut, solidly acted peon to the benefits of a free press and the dangers of unchecked power, made all the more effective by its origins and real life events. Ha!
Hey.
Remember, what was it? Don't drink, don't be a menace to South Central, drink your juice in the hood. Marlon Wayans.
Message. I think it was Keenan
Ivory. Message.
That was Keenan Ivory.
It was Keenan Ivory. You're right.
It was. Yeah.
Don't say that they don't say it, Alex. I know what you're going to say. They do not.
They don't.
I agree. He's got a bald head. Yeah.
That's how you tell them apart.
Famously. It's relatable. I mean, look at us. I have not seen The Sting.
It's like you white, you Matt Damon, right? That's the white version of it.
I have not seen The Sting. It looks great.
It's so good.
Paul Newman, fucking, too.
Yep.
Johnny Hooker.
It's a massive con that they're running on Shaw.
That looks fantastic.
Very, very elaborate.
Not mentioned in this list, Jeremiah Johnson, which, of course, is the most famous gif in the history of the internet. Him smiling and nodding his head with a big beard. That is Robert Redford, folks.
That movie's just okay, though. That's the problem.
No, that's his legacy, right? Like, I think if you told kids, hey, you know who Robert Redford is, they'd be like, no. Oh, you know that gif where he's like the bearded guy, like nodding his head? Oh, yeah. That's him.
See, we're actually that generation where we're stuck in the middle of all the youngs will know that gif. And then everyone older than us, our parents and even younger than them, Butch and Sundance is their favorite movie by a long shot, too. We're stuck in that middle of Spy Game Robert Redford. That's us, really.
Or people who have no taste in, like, The Natural. Like, that's where we're stuck in. One's from the chat. WCP.
I will say, when I step out of the shower Monday morning before I go to work, and I'm all shit, you know, I got shaved, and I hear that music sometimes. I'm like, you want to know what? I got it. I am The Natural. And then I drive to work. I'm just slogging away at a 95. No, I'm not. Oh, the fuck is this?
Take this job by
storm. Am I doing? Okay. The hell?
Once from the chat, WCP says The Last Castle, as does Fender.
Yeah. Good.
Booble's number one is...
And I does quote, anybody know what castles made of sand? What happens to castles made of sand?
I bet you're going to tell us.
Well, they fall in the sea eventually. Yeah. Well, Wesley Snipes had a whole line about white people and Jimmy, you know.
Mm-hmm. Melt into the seas.
Yeah, eventually.
Eventually.
Let's see. Booble's number one is, and I'm quoting, whatever homemade porn he has that hasn't leaked yet. Booble. I didn't have to read it, but you know, like, I like our listeners. I like for you to feel heard. You know, sometimes you shouldn't just be heard, you know, like.
We see you. We hear you.
Yeah, we need to. Sometimes we do need to stifle free speech.
Yeah,
that's the
JD Vance. JD Vance is right. JD Vance is right.
He's always right.
From this week,
yeah. Find Booble's employer. Get him fired. That was gross.
Not everybody should have free speech.
Yeah. No.
Let's see. Honorable mentions from WCP that haven't been said yet: Lions for Lambs and 3 Days of the Condor.
Is the Lions for Lambs a Haley Joel Osment vehicle? And like with like Clint Eastwood?
No.
Haley Joel Osment and Clint Eastwood?
I feel like I've seen the
Lions for Lambs, I'm pretty sure, is TC and like Meryl Streep.
Very close to what I said.
It is close.
Who the fuck is TC?
Tom Cruise, TC.
Okay, okay. Because I think TC was also like a Road Rules legend from Boston or something. So
the savior of Hollywood, sir.
I mean, that's what I. Well, how is he not in a movie with Robert Redford?
Yo, the cast for Lions for Lambs: Robert Redford, Tom Cruise, Meryl Streep, Andrew Garfield, Michael Pena. I love
Michael Pena. There's a little. Yeah,
I love Michael Pena.
There's a comedy relief thrown in there for you.
Yep. Crazy.
Right. And it wasn't TC. It was CT, who is the Road Rules legend. Oh. And if you saw his face, you would be like, yep, I remember that asshole. CT.
I'm going to Google it and show everybody. So he's from Road Rules?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, dude. Yeah. Yo. Okay.
Guy sucked.
The guy sucked.
Guy sucked. And then I think he got on like Survivor and stuff. Yeah, he just became like a reality TV millionaire. Good for him.
Yeah, totally. Just retired.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, that's it. By the way, WCP says Lions for Lambs is on Paramount Plus, if anybody would like to watch it. If you'd like to watch our movie this week, you may do so on Netflix. That is Unknown Number, The High School Catfish. So watch
it's uplifting.
Watch that on Netflix. Watch it on
real fast paced.
Get mad, and then listen to us get mad on Sunday.
Fast paced and uplifting. Gotta love it.
Yeah, you'll feel great. Yeah. Yeah,
you will.
Very, very heartwarming. You know,
it shows what a good loving parent really will do.
Yeah.
Nice. Anything, really. They'll do anything. They'll do anything.
They will. They really will, won't they?
And a community that just makes fantastic decisions in supporting their children. You know,
yeah.
Everybody really banding together. All right. Watch that. Listen to us talk about it. Thanks for watching tonight. Thanks for listening. Have a good one. Go Ducks.
Go Ducks.
Go Ducks. Goodbye.